beginning Karan Davim Sech, the Shabbos Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph. We begin three lines up from the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara is middle of discussing a machlekes between Rabbi Yosi and the Chacham, regarding that if someone had Hashem's name written on his hand, now what should he do when he has to go to Tevel in the Mikvah? It's going to be erased. So there was a machlekes if, ultimately, the way we explained it was talking about that everyone agrees that if it's going to happen by default on its own, then you're not going to actively be erasing it. So it's allowed to happen, that it's allowed it to be erased. But there was a machlekes if it's enough just to put your hand to cover it. That was the opinion of Rabbi Yosi. Whereas the Chacham said that, no, you have to go and find a gemi, a reed grass, to cover it. And that's because there will never come to a situation where Yerbucha Eves Dabba, that is Hashem's name that's on your flesh, cannot see your nakedness when you're going to the table in the mikveh. So what do? Basically says it's enough just to put your hand and cover it. Whereas Chacham say then no, that you have to go ahead and cover it because we're concerned that if you just put your hand, you might come to pick it up. And the Gemara says the Rabbi Yosi agrees that we're concerned about that. However, the problem was in a case where it's not available to have a redress. Another Gemara said it depends if you hold Tzvila B'zmana Mitzvah or not. And that is, according to Rabbi Yosi, since it's imperative to Tevel right when you're allowed to, that's a mitzvah actually, as it says in the Pasuk in Devarim Chav Gimel, V'hoy Lefnois Erev, that will be towards the evening, then Yirchatz B'mayim, then you should immerse in water. It's a mitzvah to Tevel right when you're able to. And therefore, if you don't have a regress available, then we say, no, go ahead and just put your hand on. We're not going to be concerned because there's a mitzvah over here. However, the Chacham say that no, I don't care if it takes you a week to find the regress. There is a concern that if you just put your hand, you might pick it up when you're going to immerse, and you're going to have be over on your b'chor everstav. And therefore, since it's not imperative, there's no mitzvah to tevel when you're allowed to. It's just a reshus, and therefore you should go after and find the regress. And that's where our current gemara begins. The Gemara asks, "V'savar b'yosi tefila b'zman mitzvah, is it really true the way you're explaining this machlekes between if you need the reed grass as a chacham mandate because they say it's not a mitzvah and therefore go ahead, you don't have to tevel today, wait till you find the reed grass." Whereas Rabbi says, "No, we're going to say it's enough with just putting your hand to cover Hashem's name because it's imperative we do it now because it's a mitzvah to tevel in the proper time." But Vatanya, but we learn the brisa, which seems not like that, and this brisa is in reference to Yom Kippurim, which is a Tosefta in Yuma, that says as follows: Hazav v'hazava v'hametzay v'hametziras boil nida b'tmei meis, and similarly, someone that cohabits with a nida and someone that became tummy from touching a dead person. All these tmeis tvilas and bayayim, their immersion is on, it's during the day, and even if that day falls out on Yom Kippur, and that is from when the morning of the seventh day, which they have to count seven clean days, when that morning starts, once already day, then they could immerse in the mikvah. As the Gemara Maseches Megillah learns out, that because the seventh day, once already part of the seventh day, we say mikzas ayim kukula, that part of it is as if the whole day already went through. And therefore, you already counted 7 days, and now you could immerse. And therefore, even if it's on Yom Kippurim, you could go ahead and tevel on Yom Kippur, so that you could eat truma towards the evening. Whereas nida b'yeledis, or a woman that's a nida, and or a woman that gave birth, tefilas and balayla, their immersion is at the nighttime. And that is, they could, if let's say after the seventh, the seventh day was on Erev Yom Kippur, which they are not allowed to table on the seventh day, unlike all the other cases of the Zav and the Zava and the ones we mentioned before, because by a Nida it says Tia b'nidasa, it says that she should be in her status, her state of Nida, which the Gemara darshes in Masechet Pesachim, that means b'haviyasa tehe, that she should be in that state all 7 days. And therefore, we don't say Mitzvah Kekula regarding a Nida and a Yeledis. However, she's allowed to tevel after the seventh day, which is right after that day, at nighttime. So again, if Erev Yom Kippurim is the seventh day, so that Yom Kippur by the night, she's allowed to go ahead and tevel in the mikvah. Balkari, where here Balkari, someone had a seminal mission where he's required to have a tefillah if he wants to learn Torah, that's only midrabanan, and even if he's not coming to eat taras, he could go ahead and immerse himself in the mikveh the entire day. He can, at any point in time during Yom Kippurim, if he had a riyah of keri, he could tevel in the mikveh, and that's even if he saw his keri from after the time of mincha and later on, where he already davened mincha. And even though he could wait now till evening, and then he could tevel, if it's for Ma'ariv after Yom Kippurim, he could tevel after evening and then daven Ma'ariv. And still, we allow him to tevel on Yom Kippur when it's still day. And that even though you're not allowed to bathe on Yom Kippurim, it's one of the prohibitions of Inisim Esnaf Sheisechem. However, since Tefillah B'Zman is a mitzvah, So therefore we say for all these different things regarding the Azav and Azava and all those in that category, Ketayvel during the day of Yom Kippurim. And either in Yoled is Ketayvel on the night of Yom Kippurim, which can't be during the day, you have to wait till after the seventh day. So the time of when it's allowed, which is a mitzvah of a bismana, is on the night of Yom Kippurim. And similarly Bal Keri, who any time he has a Riyav Keri, that he, if he wants to learn or be Isaac in Dibri Torah or to daven, that he has to go ahead and immerse himself in the mikveh at any point in time, even if it's not negay for tefillah because it's after mincha and ma'ariv is already, you could tevil after night to daven ma'ariv. Doesn't make a difference since now is a disman because you're tameh, and if you would want to do a davar shebekdusha, you would have a tevil in the mikveh. So therefore, we allow you to tevil at any point in time. Rabbi Yisraimer, he argues. He says, mincha lamala, from the time of mincha and later, and that is, as we mentioned before, if let's say he sees the carry after the he already davened mincha. So now he could wait till after it gets dark and then immerse himself and then he could daven ma'ariv. And same thing for ne'ilah, which is on Yom Kippurim, because he holds like the one who says that you could daven ne'ilah by night, as Rav says in Masechtas Yuma, that if you daven ne'ilah after night, that will exempt you from the tefillah of ma'ariv. So therefore, Rabbi Yisi says, no, if it's after mincha time, and it's tzarech litvil, that there you don't have to tevil during the day because of the time of tefillah, because he holds that it's not a mitzvah to tevil bizmana. So since it's not going to be applicable to saying a divrei Torah, because for ma'ariv you can do it afterwards, although now it's really the time, he doesn't hold zman tefillah bizmana as a mitzvah. So therefore, it seems to be contradictory. We just explained that the reason why Rabbi Yisi holds that you don't have to go after the gemi, after the regress, to cover Hashem's name, and you can do it with your hand, is because it's a mitzvah to tevil in the proper time. And therefore, that negates the chashash we have that you might come to uncover your hand. Whereas here he's saying that you cannot tevil in Yom Kippur for a riyah of keri after the time of mincha, because although that it is this man for the tefillah, but since it's not applicable in practice, so therefore we don't say that zman tefillah b'zman is a mitzvah. So that's a contradiction. Now the Gemara says, "Hahi Rabbi Yisrael ben Yehudahi." That opinion, that saying that it's zman tefillah b'zman is not a mitzvah, and therefore you see a riyah of keri in Yom Kippur after mincha, that you can't tevil and you have to wait till after ma'ariv, after it gets dark before you daven ma'ariv. The Amar daya tefillah b'achronah. That's going like Rabbi Yisrael by Yehuda. It's not the same Rabbi Yisrael. He's the one that says enough with the last tefillah, and that's a reference to what it says in Masechtas Nida in the Perkam HaPelas regarding a woman that she went out from town when she was full. That means she was pregnant. She came back empty. That is, she miscarried, but it had a status of a birth, and she doesn't know when she gave birth. Ultimately, the Gemara there says that she has to have 35 different tefillahs because of four different combinations of possibilities of when she's supposed to tevil. And that's related to the concept that you have to have bizmana. And therefore, since we want it to be exactly when it's supposed to be, we don't know. So you have to make all the calculations of when the earliest time she could tevil, which will be her zman of mitzvah. But Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda over there argues, and he says that no, it's enough to do the tefillah at the end, at the last time when it's possible that she has to tevil. Then and you don't say tefillah bizmana of mitzvah, we can wait till after all the combinations. And then we know for sure she could tevil, and then she'll be tahar. So therefore, that is the same opinion as it says over there in Yom Kippur regarding the riyah of Bal Keri, that you can't do it, although it's the zmana is on Yom Kippur because he had a riyah of Keri. Doesn't make a difference because he holds tefillah bezmana is lav mitzvah. Doesn't make it a positive commandment, and therefore, just like the chacham over here by the gemi, that you have to wait till you find that it doesn't make a difference, and that's not the same Rabbi Yisi. Rabbi Yisi by us holds it is a mitzvah, and Rabbi Yisi by Yehuda holds it's not a mitzvah. Now we continue with the next Mishnah that also talks about the concept as the previous Mishnah is talking about a fire. And here it's talking about having it extinguished through someone else regarding a child and regarding a non-Jew. So the Mishnah begins. Let's say a non-Jew comes, the fireman is coming to extinguish the fire. Again, you can't do anything because it's issur to do kibbutz. So you're not allowed to tell him, go ahead and put it out. You look at my house, it's going up in flames. And that's because of the classic issur that Rabban said, that amirul nachri is a issur Rabban. You can't tell a non-Jew to do something that you yourself can't do on Shabbos. However, but you also don't have to tell him not to put it out. You don't have to protest and say, wait a second, I'm not allowed to have it put out. Rather, you could just leave him and let him do his own thing. I didn't tell him to do it. That's not considered amir lakim. And the reason is, because his resting on Shabbos is not incumbent on me, because what the non-Jew does is not something that I'm being over on. As long as he's not my Eved and it's not my responsibility, he's a non-Jew from the world, then he could do whatever he wants and he could put out the fire, I don't have to stop. But I'm not allowed to tell him to go ahead and put it out. However, the Mishnah ends of a cotton shabbola chavis ain't shemulah. But if a child comes and he wants to put out the fire, then we don't listen to him. And then you have to be meicha. You have to protest. Because his resting, his keeping Shabbos is incumbent upon me. And that is my responsibility to make sure my children don't do an issur of Shabbos. So even though he's coming to put it out, we don't allow. Now the Gemara explains regarding this concept of the fire. Amar Bami, Bidleike hi tiru leimer. Regarding a fire, we permitted a person to say, whoever puts it out, he won't lose. In other words, his house is going up in flames. I can't tell a non-Jew to put out the fire, but I see people passing by and say, look, whoever puts it out, he won't lose. I didn't tell anyone directly, so therefore I didn't do Amir La'akim, and therefore it's not a problem if someone comes to put it out. So the Gemara says, Neim Misayele, let us bring proof to it from our Mishnah. Because we said in our Mishnah, Nachri Shabbala Chabes, if a non-Jew is coming to put out the fire, Einarim Le'kabe, Val Techabe. We don't tell him either to put it out, but we also don't have to tell him to not put it out. Because his keeping Shabbos is not my responsibility. He doesn't have to keep Shabbos. So I don't care if he does an extinguishing, because that's not a problem. So the inference is, from the first words it says that you can't tell him to put it out. In other words, I can't make him my messenger say, here, please put it out, because that's a mir la'akim. He's becoming my shliach. And shliach shal adam is kamais, as if I myself did it. But the inference would be that, although I can't tell him directly to put it out, but that I could say the statement of whoever puts it out won't lose, because that means he's doing it on his own, and he was not explicitly being directed by me what to do. It's just I'm notifying, look, you won't lose, but I'm not telling you to do it. And therefore, that sounds like what he was saying, that kol mechabe namafzer is permitted to say on Shabbos. But then the Gemara says, wait, aim is safer, look at the safer. Which we said, okay, you can't tell him kabe, but atachabe lo imrinle. We said, but you can't tell him that you don't have to tell him not to put it out, which means you don't have to protest. Now, if the revelation of saying that whoever does it won't lose out is also going to be permitted, so then why do we have to say this case of the sefer that you don't have to protest if he's coming on his own? What do you mean? Even more than that. Not only don't I have to protest if he's coming on his own, I could even make a public statement saying, look, whoever does it is not going to lose out. As the Gemara says, the inference is, but v'chol ha'chabe in the mafsid namer lo imrinle. That, look, that I don't have to tell him not to put it out, but to make a statement that people could understand that they should come and put it out, that would be us, because that if that was mutter, so you should have said even the bigger chiddush. Not only did I don't have to tell him not to put it out, I can make a public declaration that whoever puts it out won't lose. So the Gemara says, from our Mishnah, we can't prove either way. And that is definitely our Mishnah was not exacting on both statements, because definitely one of them is not exact, either the Reisha or the Sefer. And it said one because of the other one in the same references. But we don't know which one is the exact one to learn from it. Because from the Reisha, it sounds like that you could make the statement. And from the Sefer, it sounds like you can't make the statement. So therefore, it's inconclusive. The Gemara brings a Braisa, Tan Rabban. That there was an incident that once there was a fire in the courtyard of Yosef ben Tzimoy in Shechem, which was the town. And then came the men from the ruler of Tzipori. They came to put it out. He sent his officers, the firemen, to go ahead and put it out. And the reason why is they came to him, since he was the king's treasurer, he was in charge of all his money. So he felt the responsibility to his house going up in flames. He sent his officers to go put out the fire. But he did not allow them to put it out because of Kavod Shabbos. And that is a melocha d'oraisa being done with his property, that they're putting it out. He didn't want to let them do a kibui, extinguish the fire on Shabbos. But nasle, and that's a miracle happened. The yard du gushom v'kibui, and rain came down and extinguished the fire on its own. When it was evening, it was after Shabbos, he sent each one of the officers 2 slum. And to the officer in charge, he sent 50 slum. And that is a sign of recognition, that appreciating what they came to do, although he didn't let them. When the Chacham heard about what he had done, they said, he really didn't have to do this. He didn't have to stop them from putting out the flames. Because as we learned in our Mishnah, when a non-Jew comes to extinguish the fire, you're right, you're not allowed to tell him to put it out, because that would be a problem of Mir La'akim. However, you also don't have to tell him not to put it out, since he's doing it on his own, and I'm not doing anything to tell him, and I'm not having any positive hanaz. We're going to learn in the later Mishnah, so therefore that he's allowed to do, and therefore, although it seems like maybe it's a Ma'isa Chasidis, but it wasn't necessary, he could have let them put out the fire. So now the Gemara resumes discussing the Mishnah. We ended off and we said, although by a Nachri, by a non-Jew, that if he comes on his own, we let him put out the fire. But if a child, a Jewish child, comes to put it out, we don't listen to him. Because his keeping Shabbos is our responsibility. And therefore, we have to stop him from doing it. So the Gemara makes an inference from our Mishnah. Shaman Minah, Cotton Oichel Nevelis, that if a child, a Jewish child, is eating a non-kosher item, and specifically a dead animal which wasn't slaughtered properly. Bezdin mitzvah lav lafrisha, that obviously it's upon the responsibility upon the Jewish people, and specifically Bezdin, to separate him and stop him from doing an iser. Now that's challenging according to the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Yochanan said in Masechtas Yevamos, he said to Rabbi Bar Chana, who had lost his keys to the Beis Medrash in the Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos, that he said, look, take a little boy, a little girl, let them play over there in the street, and if they're going to find it, they're going to bring it, and you didn't tell them to do it, so therefore that's okay. Now that's challenging from our Mishnah, which makes it sound like that if a Jewish child is doing something wrong, which would be carrying in Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos, that you have to stop them. So how could we say over here that you have to stop the child from putting out the fire? What's wrong? Rabbi Yochanan says that you could let them do it on their own if I didn't tell them. So it seems to contradict his opinion. Rabbi Yochanan tells you, here we're talking about a child that's doing it with the intention to help his father. That is, talking about a child that he understands this, that what the fire is raging here, that it's something that his father is going to lose a lot of money. And he's doing it so to please his father. And that's considered doing it bishvilo. He's doing it for his father. That's usher. By the case of the keys where he told them that let them go play, they're just going to play with keys and kids like keys, so they're going to be carrying it and they're going to come to shul and then you can take it from them because they didn't do it for you. If they did it for themselves, that's okay. But if they're doing it for you, that's an usser that we don't allow children to do, even if they're doing it without you telling them, that's the usser, and that's why it's not contradictory to his opinion. Because here we're talking about when the child understands and he's doing it for the father to put it out, not really for himself, whereas there by the case of the keys in Rosh Hashanah where they were just playing with it, that you don't have to stop the child. So the Gemara asks, now we have two cases in our Mishnah. We had regarding a non-Jew and we had regarding a child. So the Kavasar Gabay Nachris, I mean the equivalent would be the case of the non-Jew that we're talking about, the Ka'avad L'dayti the Yisrael, that he's doing it with intention to help the Jew. Just like we're saying the child understands that his father is losing money and that's why he's coming to put it out and that's why we don't let him. So that means the non-Jew is also coming to do it because he sees that the Jew's house is going on fire up in flames, and as he's coming to stop it. But Mishari, is that permitted? As we're going to learn on the next daf, there's a mission that says that if the non-Jew is doing it, the malacha, for the sake of the Jew, that's also for the Jew to let him do it. And therefore, how are we letting the non-Jew put out the fire if he's doing it for the Jew? And that the Gemara says, no, a non-Jew is very different than a child. And that is Nachri Ladaiti de Navshi Avid. The non-Jew is doing it for himself. And that is, even if he knows that it's good for the Jew, he realizes his house is going up in flames, maybe he's coming heroic and putting out the fire, but ultimately he's doing it for his own selfish reasons. That he knows that he's not going to lose. It's going to help him somewhere. It's going to help him. Either he's going to get reimbursed or he's going to get glory, whatever it is, but he's doing it for himself. And that's why it's not considered doing it for the Jew. And therefore, since Ladaiti de Navshi, I don't have to stop him. He could go ahead and put it out. He's not doing it for me. Whereas a child, a Jewish child, is going to be doing it selflessly for his father. That we don't allow. And that's why by the child, it's going to be usher. And by the non-Jew, it's going to be mutter. Taisus actually does tell us that obviously we're talking about a child that didn't reach the age of chinuch. Because if a child reached the age of chinuch, since it's your responsibility to be mechanach him, so then obviously you would have to separate him not to do an avera. So this chiddush that we're saying that it's only when he's doing it for his father is talking about a child that didn't even reach the age of chinuch, where it's not my responsibility to train him in. He could do his own thing, like Rabbi Yochanan says, that he can go ahead and play with these keys and carry in Rosh Hashanah. But if he's doing it for me, that would be usher, and therefore in our case of a Mishnah, even if he didn't reach the age of chinuch, we would have to stop. So now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Similar to the concept that we were speaking about before, where we spoke about ways of maintaining protection from something that's damaging, for example, like by the fire, we said to line up the vessels to stop the fire from getting further. So we talk about here other items which are damaging, which we want to protect ourselves, what we can do. So the Mishnah says, Kleifin Ka'ari, we could turn over a bowl of pottery which won't get burned from a fire, al gaban there, on top of a candle. And that is as long as you don't extinguish the candle by you're not going to suffocate the fire, but you're just covering it. Now, although generally it's possible you're not supposed to take a vessel to save a beam that's on top, because obviously why you're covering the candle here so that it shouldn't flame up and burn the house that you're in. Now, that's moving a vessel for somebody that can't be moved on Shabbos. And the Gemara on Daf Mem Gimel asked on this, according to Rabbi Yitzchok, that he says that a vessel can't be moved for something, only for something that could be moved. And here, it's being moved for the fire and for the beam that's not allowed to be moved on Shabbos. So and the Gemara over there answers that it's talking about by Tzarech L'Mekayimeh, that is, you only picked it up, this bowl, because originally you needed it for the place. And for that purpose, you're allowed to move it. It wasn't considered muktzah. Now, once you're holding it, then you let it go ahead and put it wherever you want. So therefore, you could put it even on top of something that is not moved on Shabbos, which would be on top of the candle. However, you let it go ahead and cover the candle on Shabbos, so that it shouldn't be, as the Mishnah says, so that it shouldn't catch on to the beams and therefore burn up the house. Another thing that you're allowed to do to take the bowl is about tzayi shel katan on the feces of a child when they go to the bathroom. You're allowed to take the bowl and cover that. And also the third item is val akav shel tishach. You're allowed to cover over a scorpion that it shouldn't bite. For all these three things to protect yourself from these harmful situations, you're allowed to go ahead and put a bowl and cover it over that item. So Amr Yehuda, Maisa Bolif Nebi Yechon Mezake Ba'ar. There was such an incident with the last case we mentioned regarding that someone covered over a scorpion on Shabbos in Arav. And V'Amar Cheshashni LeMechatzis, and Rabbi Yechon says, I'm concerned about this person that maybe he was over on the Chi of Chatzis, and that is since the scorpion wasn't running after anyone, to permit covering it with a bowl. Now, I don't know if he's going to be reliable for the Malacha Dereis of Tzed of trapping the scorpion or not. And therefore, I'm concerned that maybe he was Chayav Chatzis. So now the Gemara brings a story related to our Mishnah. Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yimri bar Abba, Rabbi Chanan bar Rava, iklu lebei oven de min nishakya. There was three Amiram that they went to the house of oven from Nishikya. Now, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yimri bar Abba, for these two Amiram, we continue on Talmud Beis, Aisu lohu priyasim. For them, a bed was brought to, so that they could sit on, and when they were just, sitting together and talking. But for this third Amar, a bed wasn't brought, and rather he had to sit on the floor. Now, Ashkechei Masni Lelebrei. Now, Rav Chana Bar Rava saw that Rav Oven, whose house they went to, was teaching this following halacha to his son, which was the case of our Mishnah. And he said it as follows. That you're allowed to take a bowl to cover over the feces of a child for the sake of the child. That is, the child shouldn't be playing around with it and get dirty from the dirty that's there. So therefore, you're allowed to take a bowl and to go ahead and cover it. Now, Amalei, so Rav Chanan, who is very angry and he wanted to start a fight, so to speak, with Rav Oven because he did it showed him disrespect in comparative to the other two Amram, and he was sitting on the floor. He said, Oven Shatya, Oven's a fool, Masni Shtus Libne, and he teaches foolish things to his son. What are you talking about? Valohi Atzma Muchenis Liklovim. The feces of a child itself is permitted to be moved because it's prepared for dogs. And that is, why would you tell your son this halacha, that it, when you're talking about feces of a child, that you could cover it because of the child, that it shouldn't get dirty, so therefore you're allowed to take it and cover it with a kli? What do you mean? You could do even more than that. You could just move away the feces because it's fit to be moved. Because since a dog could eat it, so therefore it's something that's prepared, it's not something that's mukta that has no use, it's given over that dogs nibble at it. Now, so why would you say that you could cover it? You could do even more. You would be able to even just get rid of it. Now, if you're going to answer me that, no, it's not true because it wasn't fit from yesterday because the child only went to the bathroom today. And therefore, that would be considered noila, that it was created today, which would be mukta, but it's not true. But Tanya, we learn in the Braisa that Naharis Hamoishkin, regarding running rivers, Mayonis Hanoivim, or flowing springs, we say Harehin Karagli Kaladim, that we say that the springs have halacha as the feet of the people that are coming to draw the water, and this is applicable to halachas of tchumen, of boundaries. And as a person is only allowed to go out 2,000 amas from where he had his shvisa, where he had his local on Shabbos. Now, since these rivers are constantly flowing, and it doesn't acquire shvisa, it doesn't acquire a place where it's established that is its location for the locus of 2,000 amas. And that is, although it's coming from out of the tchum, we say every person that comes to draw the water could take it to exactly the place where he has his erev, where his boundaries are for the tchum, and we don't say it had its own area. It has the place of ragged kladim, like the people that are coming to draw it. Now, ultimately, what he's trying to show him is that from here you see that obviously you let him move the water. We're saying that it's not a problem for tchumen purposes, and that is, although objects also have tchum, here we say it has the tchum of the person that's drawing the water. But we're saying you're allowed to draw the water on Shabbos in spite of the fact that yesterday it wasn't here, right? We said it was coming from way out of the Tchum, but the reason why you're allowed to draw the water on Shabbos is because since that is the normative way of the river, that it's constantly flowing, so your thought is on the water that's miles away because you know that on Shabbos it's coming to come and you're going to draw the water. So the same thing over here, since it's normative for the child to go ahead and relieve himself Friday, Shabbos, Sunday, every day, so you're thinking about it, that when it's going to come, I'm going to feed it to dogs. So therefore, just like over there, you see that the fact that it wasn't here and they only went to the bathroom today, that's not making it noilid from the fact that we find by rivers is the same thing, that although it's not here, it's only coming today, Now, that doesn't make it noilid because we're thinking about it. We know that it's coming. We're going to draw the water on Shabbos. Same thing, we know the child's going to make, and then we're going to feed the feces to the dog. And therefore, my problem with you is, why are you teaching your son that, yeah, you can go ahead and cover it on Shabbos because of the you don't want the child to get dirty? What do you mean? You could do even something more than that. You could actually move the feces because not muktzah. If you're explaining to your son the halacha in our Mishnah that is talking about the feces of a katan, as he said, that it would tell you shall katan mipnei kat. So therefore, he responded, Rebov, and said to him, "You're right. It sounds like I'm wrong. But the ve'elehecha asnai. So how should I learn this statement of the Mishnah that I'm teaching my son?" So he answered him, "Ema al tsoya shel tarnagolim nekatan." That rather we're talking about the feces of, we're talking about the, what comes from a chicken because of the child. That the feces of a chicken is not fit for dogs. It's only the one of a child. And when our Mishnah says vishal katan, that we're talking about of a child, the Mishnah was saying that a child we don't want to get dirty. That is because of the child we can cover it. But it wasn't talking about the tzoya shel katan. We're talking about that a tzoya of a tarnagol shel katan, meaning because of a child that we don't want to get dirty, you're allowed to cover it with the bowl, but you can't move it because again, dogs don't eat the ones of chickens. They only eat the tzoya of ketanim, of little children. But then the Gemara asks, but typically to have a grav shel rei, that you're right, we're talking about the tzoya shel tarnagolim, and therefore dogs don't eat it. So therefore that will be muktzah and you can only cover it. But it shouldn't be muktzah, so you should be able to even move out the actual excrement, because let it be like a grav shel rei, which is a bucket full of excrement, which that's disgusting. And the halacha is, as it says in Masechtas Bei, that you could remove that. The whole grav shel rei, you're allowed to take it out to the garbage. And that if something is disgusting in one's house, you're allowed to remove it. So therefore, again, why are you telling him that it's only that you'll be able to cover it because it's a tzoya shel tarnagolim, but yet you could even move out the whole bucket. You can move it out because it's a grav shel rei. But then the Gemara says, v'chitim a grav shel rei agav mona in. And maybe you're going to say that no, that it's not comparable, because that halacha Masechtas Bei that says that you're allowed to move out this a bucket full of excrement because it's disgusting and it's not proper to have it around, and so that's only maybe when there's a vessel that it's in. And that is this, that we say you're allowed to move out the bucket full of excrement is because it's in a vessel. And that's exactly what a graf is. This bucket is a special earthenware vessel that's designated like a little potty to put an excrement. Now, because this actual vessel, which is generally a vessel, is mutter to move, so then we say, then you're allowed to move it out. But ihu gufi lay, but if it's just excrement itself, not in a bucket, then maybe you wouldn't be able to move it out. And here we're talking about that's just the excrement of the chicken lying there on the floor, maybe that would not qualify for the halacha of graf shel. Maybe my question is not a good question on him, that, yeah, he's right, that you will only be able to cover it and not move it, but it's not true. Vahu achver dishtakech bis pamarki de Ravashi, but there was this mouse that was found in the spices of Ravashi. Va'amalahu nukutu b'tzitzise v'apku, and he said, and this was on Shabbos, he says, take him out by his tail and throw him out. So obviously, even if something that's disgusting, which is definitely the case of a mouse in your spices, that it's not in a vessel, that you still let him move it. So therefore, my question is back on Rav Chana bar Rava, that he said he was talking about a case of the Tzayr Shetana Goylem. And therefore, that you're not allowed to move it. You're only allowed to cover it, but it should qualify for the status of Graf Sharei, which is something disgusting. You're allowed to move it out. And even though it's not in a vessel, we see by the case of the mouse that you're allowed to take it out because it was a graf, because it's something disgusting, even though it's not in a vessel, and not to say that it's only mutter to move out a graf shere because it's an element of heter, that there's a vessel that it's in spite of the fact that the excrement itself is muktzah. So therefore the Gemara answers ba'ashpa. We're talking about that it's not here in someone's house. It therefore won't qualify for the status of graf shere because it's in the garbage dump. The garbage dump, that's where it belongs. That doesn't qualify for graf shere, but since it's in the garbage dump and the child might play with it, so therefore then we say you could cover it, but to move it out, you can't, because that's exactly where it belongs. But on that, the Gemara asks, if that's the case, for cotton bash, but my boyle, what is the child doing in the garbage dump? In other words, a regular garbage dump is generally out in the street. Now, why would a child be there that you're saying that you're allowed to cover it because we don't want the child to get dirty from it? If it's in the garbage dump, the child's not going to be there. On that, the Gemara answers, b'chotzer, that it's in the courtyard where their children do hang out. It's not in the public domain. And therefore, because of that, we say that then you're allowed to cover it because the child not to get dirty. But then the Gemara asks, so chatzanam graf shel rehu. But if it's in the courtyard, then again, it does qualify for graf shel rehu because it's disgusting. Everyone uses this courtyard that all the houses open up to. So therefore, again, you should be able to move it out, not just have to cover it. Now the Gemara says, ba'ash b'shebachatz. We're talking about a garbage dump that's in the courtyard. Again, the garbage bins that where it's supposed to be, that you can't move because that's exactly where it belongs. It's not in your way. It's not something in your dining room that a dirty diaper on the floor, it's considered, it's in the garbage. So therefore, you can't move it. However, it does qualify with being able to cover it because the child might go ahead, although it's in the garbage dump, and play there, and he's going to get dirty. So that's why you're allowed to cover it, but you can't actually move it. And that's the way he corrected him, that it's not talking about the feces of a child, because that you could move itself, rather talking about the excrement of a chicken, which you cannot move because dogs will not eat that, but you can go ahead and cover it because we don't want the children to get dirty. Now the Gemara resumes with the third case of the Mishnah that said, Val akiv shloi tishach, that you're allowed to cover a kli on top of a scorpion that it shouldn't bite you. So now the Gemara discusses this, about the danger inherent from these animals and what you're allowed to do to protect yourself from them on Shabbos. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, kol hamazikin, all of these types of things that are harmful, that they can kill, then the halach is nerogin b'Shabbos, they could be killed on Shabbos. And now the Gemara thinks that even if it's not chasing anyone, because we hold like Reb Shimon, that he says a malacha shein sich legufa, that it's not done for its specific intent, rather just as a way of preventative or for a different purpose, that's only the Rabbanan that it's aser. And here we weren't geyser because of the safety concern, therefore we're allowed to kill initially these animals that are dangerous and harmful on Shabbos. And that the Gemara asks, Master Reb Yosef, we learned chamisha ne'erogin b'Shabbos. There are five types of animals that can be killed on Shabbos, because he holds that these five animals generally are predators. These are animals that generally kill people. Ve'eluhin, and these are zvuv shebe'eretz Mitzrayim, the fly in Egypt, v'tzira shebe'ninveh, and the wasp in Ninveh, v'akrev shebe'chadyev, and the scorpion of Chadyev, which is a place, v'nocha shebe'etzo, and the snake in Eretz Yisrael, v'kolev shayte b'chol mokim, and a mad dog in any place. These five animals, they're all dangerous, and therefore that you're allowed to kill. Now, Mani, who's the town of this b'raisa? Ilem Rabbi Yehuda, if he's saying it's Rabbi Yehuda, ha'amam malacha shein tzich leguva chayvela, he says, even an act that's not necessary for the intent itself, even if it's for just a byproduct, still you're liable, and therefore how would he allow with a complete malacha, which is by these five, which you're doing when you're killing them, you're being over on the complete malacha, an av malacha, even if they're not running after you, where there's no pekuch nefash, there's no life in danger right there at this moment, how would we allow you to kill even those five animals? So therefore, it definitely can't be Rabbi Yehuda. Elav Rabbi Shimon, obviously it's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. And v'hanu hu d'shari achrin yilayin, it's only these five animals, where these are generally five animals that are dangerous and they're lethal to kill people, those five we let. But other animals, not. And therefore, it's not like the statement of Rabbi Shimon Levi, that he said, kol ha-mazikin, all animals that are dangerous, that they harm, you're allowed to kill them. Who's he like? It seems to be contradicted because he's not Rabbi Yehuda, who would say in all situations forbidden, and it's not Rabbi Shimon because he says only these five, but other animals not. So Amar Bimri, Rabbi Bimri says, Uman Neimulon, the Homitar Tetzdehu. What are you asking from that Brisa? Who said that it's a proper Brisa? Dima Mishabeshti, maybe it's a Brisa that's mistaken. And that is, as the Gemara is going to say, Rabbi Yosef is the one that taught us this Brisa. And it wasn't from the yeshiva of Rabbi Chiya or Rabbi Yishiya that learned it. And any Brisa that wasn't learned in the Tosefta or Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Yishiya, we can think that maybe it's a wrong one, that it was a mistaken one, and therefore you can't ask from this Brisa. So Amar Rabbi Yosef says, wait a second. Ano Masninla, I have this tradition, it's in my Brises. And therefore, v'isvinula, I am going to ask on Rabbi Shimon Levi from this brisa that he is contradicted from it. But v'hanoma tartinle, and don't worry, I'm going to answer it. It's not a question. Because Baratzu Achrav is talking about that they're chasing him. And that is, when did Rabbi Shimon Levi say that kol hamazikin erogin, that all of these dangerous animals could be killed? That's talking about when they're chasing him, which that's pekuch nefash, that is the life that's in danger. V'divri hakol, and therefore that's going according to everybody, even according to Rabbi Yehuda would agree that yes, you're allowed to kill any animal that's chasing you because of pikuach nefashes, of life that being in danger. And this that it said in the Brisa, that only these five animals you can kill, that's Toma when they're not chasing after him, and that's going according to Rabbi Shimon, who holds that malacha shein tzrich leguf is mutter. And since I'm not killing them for the purpose of killing them, which would be the malacha, rather for just preventative, because I would rather not kill them, but just I don't want them to kill me, so that I'm allowed to go ahead and do, but only for these five animals, where there we say that they are the animals that generally kill. But other animals, you're right, if they're not chasing you, then even Rabbi Shimon Levi would agree that you're not allowed to kill them. It's only these five that you're allowed to. Related to this topic, the Gemara brings Tana Tanaka made the Rav. Some say it's Rabba or Rava in front of Rabba Bar Avuna, that is said as follows. Ha'harig nechashim akravim b'Shabbos, that whoever kills snakes and scorpions on Shabbos, ein ruach chasidim noichemena, that the spirit of the pious ones are not pleased with such a person. That is, they don't want to be with in philosophy like this person, because it's not proper what he did. So Amalei, he said, Rabbi Rabbi Huna responded to this, that he was telling over this halacha, Va'isin chasidim in ruach chacham noichemena. And these pious ones, these chasidim, the spirit of the chachamim don't agree with these chasidim. And that is, these chasidim, that they're displeased with this type of person that was killing the snakes and scorpions on Shabbos, our chazal are not pleased with these pious ones. Because this does chasidim look and think it's not proper. It's not true, it is proper. Because although the animals are not harming right now, ultimately when they get angry, they are going to harm someone and kill someone. And therefore, our chacham say, you're allowed to kill the snakes and the scorpions. And therefore, although the pious ones think, what are you doing killing on Shabbos? If they're not chasing you, it's not true. Our chacham are not pleased with these chasidim who think poorly about these people. But then the Gemara says that this response of Rabbi Rav Huna, uplied Rav Huna, he argues on his father Rav Huna. And that is, we have an incident, Rav Huna chazi lahu gavra dekokot l'zibur. Rav Huna saw this person that was killing a bee on Shabbos. So Amalei said to the person, Shlamtinu l'kulu, did you finish them all off? In other words, do you think you killed all the bees in the world? I mean, what did you help? There's so many more bees, what are you trying to kill them? So obviously what the person did was not proper. So obviously this opinion of Rabba or Rava was arguing on his father, Rav Huna, that he held it was a good thing. Yeah, because if it's not going to kill now, it's going to kill someone later. He was telling him something his father was saying, what do you mean? What are you doing? What are you accomplishing? It's not a good thing to kill on Shabbos. If they're chasing you, then you kill them. And therefore, obviously, he was arguing on his father, Rav Huna, who held it was not a proper thing to do, which was similar to those chassidim that said it's not proper to be killing snakes and scorpions on Shabbos. It's not full. Regarding the perspective about how to view life related to our suga, such a hashkafa type of thing, the Gemara brings Tanabon, we learned Nabraisa. Nizdamnu loy nechashim akravim. If a person encounters snakes and scorpions, now, depending on what plays itself out, will show the divine process that's playing out. Hargan, if he kills the snakes and scorpions, be a Jewish in his dominant loyal Hargan. He should know that this was exactly how it was planned out, that it was prepared for him to kill these snakes and scorpions. And that is, it wasn't by chance that it came to him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that he should kill them, because ultimately these snakes and scorpions were going to harm someone. And what's known as Megalglin Schus HaDezakai, that Hashem wanted it to play out, that a meritorious person, a righteous person, this person, to do something righteous, which is to kill the thing that was dangerous in the world. So that's why Hashem wanted you to be there, because to do a righteous act, because you were Zakai to do something of Zakai. Now, Loi Hargan, if he didn't kill the snakes and scorpions, Biyadua should nizdamnu lahargo, you should know that they were there prepared to kill you. And the miracle happened from heaven that they didn't kill you, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show you that you sinned. But a miracle happened, and there was a way of showing a person to do tshuva, that you should know that the snake was really here to kill you. And that's because you didn't kill him, obviously he was there to kill you. But the Gemara qualifies this. Ama ula ve'itim, and some say Rabbi Bar Chana Amir Biyechanan, that's only been nishoifin by, that's only if they were hissing at him. Then you that in such a case you know that they were really there prepared to kill you, and because that's what a snake does, it hisses when it sees its enemy and it gets angry, so it hisses. Then you should know if you didn't kill it that it was really there to kill you, and Hashem wanted to show you that you really sinned and deserved to be died, but and to be killed. But Hashem made a miracle, and that's a sign for a person to do tshuva. Now the Gemara continues with a story related to the halachas about killing a snake and scorpion on Shabbos. Omer Abba Bar Kahana, Pam Achas Nofel Echad BeBeis Medrash. One time, a snake fell on Shabbos into the Beis Medrash. Ve'omer Navisi Echad V'Hargi, and a person from Novis, he came and he killed the snake. So Omer Rebbe commented when he saw this in the Beis Medrash happening, says, Poga Boy Kiyotzboy. The snake encountered someone similar to him. That is, the snake was similar to the one who killed him. So the Gemara asked, Iboilhu, Pogabai Kayitsaboy the Shapa of it. What did he mean to say? Was he saying a positive thing, that he was saying that the snake encountered someone just like him, that he did something good? That is, it wasn't a derogatory statement. Rather, the snake was coming to be harmful to others, and this person became harmful to the snake, and that is, he did good because he got rid of this harmful snake. A lawyer, maybe not. Maybe he was saying a derogatory term. Just like the snake is bad, so did this person is bad because he killed the snake on Shabbos, and as the Hasidim said, that you shouldn't be killing snakes on Shabbos. So they weren't clear exactly what was Rebbe's intent. So Tashma wanted to bring a raya from the following statement. The Reb Abba Bered, Reb Chia Bar Abba, the Reb Zera, and these two Amiram have a Yastra Kila de Beriyane. They were sitting there by the porch of Rebiyane. Nafig Milsa Mibinayo. So there was a following halacha that came out from the two of them. Boyim and Rebiyane, they asked the following question from Rebiyane. Mahu laharig nechosh makrov mishabbos. What is the halacha regarding killing snakes and scorpions on Shabbos? So Amalahui said to them, what do you mean? Tzirani harig. I kill wasps on Shabbos. And that is, to get rid of all these dangerous elements, even though they're not as wanton to harm as a snake and scorpion, isn't it obvious that snakes and scorpions for sure you'd be able to kill? And therefore we see from this halacha that if you're allowed to, that you're allowed to kill snakes and scorpions. Obviously when Rebbe made this comment, he's obviously saying a praiseworthy statement that just like this snake was coming to harm, he had someone just like him encounter him who killed him, and therefore he did a good thing that he got rid of these harmful elements. Because even a wasp you're allowed to kill, which are not necessarily going to sting and harm, but to get rid of these elements, it's okay, it's mutter. Therefore, this person that killed the snake on Shabbos in the Beis Medrash, he was doing a good thing. To which the Gemara says, wait a second, maybe, what's the raya from there? Dimlafitume, maybe there, Biyesu is referring to someone that does it innocently. And that is, not that you're allowed to get up and right out kill even a snake and a scorpion. Rather, if you're going on your way, innocently, without thinking, and there's a snake and scorpion in front of you, you don't have to move away from that. Rather, you could keep on walking as normally. And if when you're walking, it dies because you stepped in it, so then it dies. Because that was not my intent. And as we know that a davish ein miskaven, according to even Rabbi Yehuda, who says davish ein miskaven is aser, that's only midrabbanan. And regarding these mazik and these dangerous elements, they weren't geyser. But how are you trying to prove that it would be mutter, and that's why this guy who did in the Mesmej on Shabbos was doing something praiseworthy, and that's why Rebbe was saying a positive statement, because you're allowed to kill snakes and scorpions on Shabbos. Maybe there it's different, because there he did it straight out, and he went to kill it, and that was his kavana. But here, where it's a davish ein miskaven, where you're not even intending to kill it even, you're just walking, and what do you want me to do? I don't have to move out of my way because of a snake here. And if it dies, it dies. As the Gemara says, the Amrav Yehuda, Reik darsel if you a person could step on spit innocently, and that is his intent is not to smooth it out, and when he steps on it on the ground, it smooths out the pits that are there, even though by default it's going to happen, because since that's not his intent, it's okay. And as the Gemara says, Vam Rav Sheshes, the same idea, Nochash Darz Lefitume, you're allowed to step on the snake innocently. Vam Rav Katin, Rav Katin says also similarly, Akriv Darz Lefitume, you could step on the scorpion innocently. And therefore, the Gemara says it's not a proof from there to show that what Rebbe was saying was a praise, because maybe there was talking about innocently, it was doing where I didn't even intend, I'm just walking, and when, if it happens, it happens. And snow, I'm not going to go ahead and melt ice, but you know, I could just walk because that's the normal way. Here also, the snake and scorpion, maybe this that he said that I killed him is because I'm walking, I'll step on a wasp. It's not a problem because since I'm not intending to it and there's an element of harm, fine, but to do it with your hands, maybe that's not. And maybe Rebbe was saying a derogatory statement and saying that just like the snake is bad, the one who killed it was also bad. Now the Gemara brings a story again related to this topic. Abba Bar Marta, who Abba Bar Minyumi, who's the same person that's Abba Bar Minyumi, have a maski bait de Beirish Kalusa Zuzi. That the household of the Resh Kalusa, they were running after him, that he owed them a Zuz. So Aisu, commensarily, they brought him to the house of the Resh Kalusa, who was in charge of all the Jews. He was in control. And they were hurting him because, you know, pay up, you owe us money. Have a Shadi Ruka. So there, when they were hurting him in that room, there was some spit there laying on the floor, and it was on Shabbos. Amalhu Resh Kalusa, so the Resh Kalusa was a Talmud Chacham, and he knew, and he was in charge of this whole, all the people. So he said to the people, the officers, I simana, bring a vessel, schifo, and cover it, because, you know, you're not allowed to step on Shabbos, because it's going to smooth out the ground. So Amalhu, he said to them, loy tzrichusu, that this was, Rabbi Bar Minyumi said to the officers, you don't have to, because Hachem Rabbi Yehuda, this is what Rabbi Yehuda said, as we just mentioned before, Reik, Darz Lefitumai, spit, you could step on innocently, although if you would be stepping in it on purpose, it would be doing a malacha of Shabbos, but here, since I'm doing it innocently, I'm not intending to, if I happen to, by mistake, step in the spit, it's okay. So Amalahu, so Resh Kalusa said to the officers, Tzuvim Rabbanhu, Shavku, he's obviously a young Talmud Chacham, because he knew this halacha, so leave him alone, don't hurt him. And again, that's based on, we brought in this story because of this halacha, that if it's done lefi tumay, that it's going to be okay, and that's why it wasn't a raya to the story with Rebbe in the Beis Medrash, that doing it directly might be aser, but here where it's indirectly, it wasn't intended at all, it's just in the normative way of walking, that maybe there it's mutter. So now, once we brought in Rebbe Bar Kahana, so we bring three different mamorim from him. Amar Rebbe Bar Kahana, Amar Pchanina, Pemoipo shall base Rebbe mutal taltim b'Shabbos. These lamps, these menorahs of the house of Rebbe, they weren't made up of separate pieces. It's one piece. You're allowed to move it on Shabbos. So Amalei Rebzeir said to him, "What types of menorahs are we talking about? Benitolim b'yodei achas or b'shtei yadayim? Is it a menorah that can be held in one hand, it means it's smaller, or that it needs two hands to hold it, and even then it's going to be mutter, it's not going to be muktzah on Shabbos." So we continue at the top of Kochav Bezim and Al. Amalei, he said to him, "Ko'isin shal beis avicha, like those of your father's house, which are smaller, and they're not as wealthy as Rebbe. However, the large ones, you're right, since there, people usually leave it where it is, That item is considered muktzah, like an oven. No one's moving, or something that's not even muktzah, but it's just a place that's always there, like a armoire that always stays there. That's going to be considered muktzah, right? That you can't move. It's only the small menorahs that could be held in one hand that could be moved on Shabbos. Another statement, the wagons of the household of Rebbe, which were made to carry people, mutl tadm Shabbos, you're allowed to move them on Shabbos. So again, what type of wagons are we talking about that can be carried by one person or that needs two people to carry it? Again, he told him, like those are your father's house, again, that are small, that only need one person, but two, again, that they have an established place, and that would be considered that you can't move on Shabbos. And the third statement, that Reb Chanina permitted for the household of Rebbe to drink the wine that came on the wagon of a non-Jew, although it was only sealed with one seal. However, but I don't know why he permitted it, if it's because he held like Rebbe Elazar, that he says in Masechta Avodah Zarah that wine is permitted, although it only has one seal, we're not concerned that it was tampered with. Maybe not true. Maybe he holds like those who said you need to have two seals. But the reason why he permitted to the house of a Rebbe is because the non-Jew that's bringing it was afraid of the prince, of the one in charge of all the Jews, because he had ability to rule based on the kingdom of the rulers, and therefore that's why maybe he allowed it with one seal, but maybe generally for regular people he's not so afraid that it would require two seals. And again, because Rebbe Abba Kahana was brought in over before by the snake regarding that incident, so therefore we said in his name these three different mamorim that he had said over.